A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, when companies think of keeping their staff healthy and productive, they offer gym memberships, stress management courses, but there are other aspects of staff well-being that have been completely ignored. For example, poor indoor air quality, lousy office setups, and bad habits. Farzan Davidzak de Moran is an expert in sustainable development and senior partner at Green A Consultants. She wants to educate business leaders and executives on how to improve the quality of their office environment. And this can have a positive impact on staff well-being. Farzan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good to be here.
Why do you think this matters? And why does it matter personally to you?
I think that health matters personally to all of us, not just to me, but everyone else who's residing in a building. So air quality is one of the main key points why we should be concerned about, especially indoor air quality.
This has come up before, the sick building syndrome, they call it, right?
Yes, correct. Sick building syndrome has come up many times before. But sadly, not many people understood this term called SBS or sick building syndrome or anything else to do with the carcinogens that goes in or any of the particles that is affecting us in the air that we breathe.
What's the issue, though? How the building is built? No maintenance of the air conditioning, perhaps? What?
Yeah, I mean, there's various concerns and various things that affects it. One is, of course, the air conditioning, since we live with air conditioning almost all of our time. The filters that goes into the air conditioning. But also what matters most is us, you, me, and all of us who's inside that actually contributes to the air quality that's inside.
How, just by the carbon dioxide that we emit, or...?
Yes, there's multiple factors, from the carbon dioxide also to things that we bring from the outside to the inside, the bacteria, mold, the glues, the adhesives, the volatile organic compounds, the formaldehyde. All this actually affects our respiratory illness, our lungs, things that we inhale. So people don't realize that because it's air is odorless, so you wouldn't know whether it affects you or not.
Once it becomes odorful, that's bad already. That's a really bad level, right?
Yeah, like most things in humans, once you start to see something, hear something,
smell,
or smell something, that's when you react. Otherwise, you would say that life goes on, it's good.
Whose responsibility is it then? It feels as though, you know, the business environment or the office environment, not much one employee can do. Is it the responsibility of a building owner to clean it up, so to speak?
I would say the responsibility lies in all of us. And
but what can one person do, really?
First, we have to be informed, because you can't do anything if you're not informed. So how to be informed is that you need to know what air are you breathing and why does it affect you. And second, you need to monitor. Or if you are residing or tenanting in a building, you need to even ask questions to be informed, to ask how is the air treated? Are we healthy inside? If the answer is generic, then I suppose that you have to take your own test. I mean, there's so many tests out there that you can actually buy. The things that you can actually monitor from PM 2.5 down to formaldehyde or volatile organic compounds, those are the things that affects us, that makes us dizzy, anything. So for you, you need to be informed first and foremost. Otherwise, you wouldn't know where you are.
Top of mind that comes to people when we talk about sick building would be the air. But there's also lighting that affects us as well.
Correct.
That's something we haven't quite heard a lot about.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, lighting is a bit strange, I would say, because most of us, light is light.
Yeah, but I need to see, so turn on the lights. Yeah,
but you know that your eyeballs or your senses in your eyes actually reacts to different kind of light levels. That's when you go from, yeah, example, like when you take a train or when you take a expressway or underground and the car goes from the daylight and you go into this orange light and then it goes into the white light because your eyes has to adjust. Similarly for classrooms, if you don't have good light uniformity, you have dark spots and grey spots. Your eyes constantly has to adapt and that makes us tired in our eyes, especially for schools and places where we need to work.
Yeah.
Poor lighting quality creates discomfort and hence, therefore, we are all wearing glasses at some point.
This other thing that a lot of us do here in the office is eat at our desk. That's not a good idea, apparently. Tell us more.
I think it's an Asian thing to eat at our desk while typing and talking. And it's definitely not because it contributes to the bacterial mold count. Bacteria, basically, are the ones that keeps everything around us. And that bacterial mold count is hygiene. So you're not supposed to eat crumbs and crumbles at your desk. You're supposed to eat where your designated places for you to eat. And also coming in and out, that contributes to the bacterial mold count as well.
Right. Let's also talk about, say, body pains that you might experience whilst you're at the office. So the chair comes into play. Are you comfy there, Farizan, on our awfully plastic chairs over there?
That's a strange question, because comfy means you're going to sit there also quite a long time.
Yeah.
So in office, getting comfy in a meeting when you have like charades of meeting to go through is getting quite not so efficient, I would say, because you're too comfy and you tend to drag a meeting further.
Yeah.
So sometimes a standing meeting or a meeting that is in a smaller space gets you going. So ergonomics is when you sit down there if you're a typist, but we don't do that anymore. So
yeah.
Meetings which are more efficient is when you can actually sit in a smaller place, conduct a meeting where it's actually relevant, and then finish the meeting and go and do what you need to do.
How about meetings standing up, maybe?
That's even better, because you know why. Well, okay, in this age where there's also old age people which are in a meeting, yes, I do agree. There must be a stool for them to actually rest their feet on as
right.
well. But meetings which are having ergonomics chairs, sitting down there, you tend to let it go. Let it times
all hang out.
Yeah, exactly. Let it stretch. And then it goes forever. And then that's not efficient at all.
So it's the long meetings, you're saying, that will create these kinds of body pains
in
because, people.
Yes. Because, you know, you tend to sit and you sit because it's so comfy to sit. And let's chat about the next thing. But if you're tending to stand, okay, what do we have to discuss now? Let's get it over with. Yeah.
How aware do you think businesses are about these kinds of environmental things that can help in terms of productivity for their staff?
Yes, it is very much coming up. I mean, we have started on health and well-being. I mean, Building and Construction Authority has started on health and well-being as well, certification with HPB, Health Promotion Board. So we are getting people to educate them and to actually understand the effects of all this that matters to us, and walking and not always sitting every few... Yep. So, yeah, it's coming up, definitely.
What do you think a worker can do just by themselves? Because earlier we talked about how a worker often feels, you know, I'm just one person, I won't affect anything. Why can't I just, you know, have my hamburger at the desk? But what can we do, so practically on our own, to help mitigate some of these things?
Well, I would say that letting them know, but then again, there's a lot of people who are still refusing to actually acknowledge that this actually affects it, because, you know, it doesn't affect them immediately. So they would always want to drag it out. So you always have to remind them to actually do not eat at your desk. Example, please do this. And pictures, images always helps, because pictures and images relates more to us. We see things and then we are aware of. If you write literature, it's going to be very difficult for them to understand.
What can I start doing, say, today?
First, get yourself informed. So, which means you can put a simple device or carry on a simple device. Measure the things like PM 2.5, example, and formaldehyde and VOC. Those are the three things that you can actually measure.
Okay.
And then you need to know what the threshold, because you measuring something, not knowing the threshold, in my experience,
what's the point? Yeah,
I've been through many of this, and they don't know, is this good, bad, pass, fail, borderline? So you need to know where the thresholds are as well. Otherwise, you won't be able to actually get to know. After you know that, then you can mitigate it further by saying, oh, look, if I were to put some plants here, it increases the air quality, example. So that's what you need to do.
Now we've gotten the results, let's say. Mm. We've learned about the thresholds. It's bad. Mm. I can't move away from the studio for 4 hours. Mm. Putting a green plant might help. What else, though?
The easiest method, it may sound very traditional, is actually carbon. Carbon is charcoal. Yes, it's carbon we have been using in all air filters as well.
That's why there's a bucket of carbon inside my refrigerator. I think my mom put it there.
because carbon has a lot of surface. It captures all these toxins inside. It's cheap, it's good, it's readily available. What's next? I mean, you don't need rocket science to come up with, like, one thing you shouldn't do is mask. Mask means put a fragrance over it.
Yeah. So these sort of purifier things that we tend to plug in and have these bergamot
something
going?
Masking. It's like, you know, you haven't showered and you put a perfume on, it's
right.
not masking. So,
okay.
So it's not good. So what you should do is do not mask, but neutralize the air using charcoal or carbon, and that works very, very effectively.
Might certain devices help as well? HEPA-filtered type devices, maybe?
Of course, if you want to go all the way out and you have some budget to splurge on, yes, then you would go into microfilters and stuff like that. It does help. But the easy solutions are always readily available for anyone of all different classes.
So there you go, tips you can follow if you are just the one-man warrior fighting against bad air in the office. Green A Consultants is where you can find them. That's greenaconsultants.com. Farizan Davazek de Moran is an expert in sustainable development. She's also a senior partner there. Farizan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.